Good morning again. As I said, my name's Daniel Shanks. I get to talk to you about one of my favorite things today. You see, we've been on this sermon series. It's called God's Assumptions. And I don't know about you, like I've been studying. I'm a pastor. Like I read scripture a lot. I have a lot of assumptions about God. I've never actually thought about God having assumptions about me. I've thought about expectations, which is kind of how my brain framed that, but I think it's interesting, this idea that, like, as created beings, maybe the Creator had some thoughts, you know? Maybe there were some assumptions about how we would be. And so today, we're going to continue in this series. It's been a little bit since I've seen you guys. I've been traveling. I ended up getting to go to Mexico, which is kind of a surprise. I haven't seen my youth in like a month. I'm sorry, I'm not dead. I still exist too. But 2 weeks ago, Pastor Greg started off this series, and the assumption that he was talking about was, he's talking about the wise men. And he said when the wise men found Jesus and Mary, their first act was to fall on their knees and worship. And there's this assumption by God, right, the Creator, that maybe when the created see the Creator, that we're going to worship. And I, by the way, I don't think we worship for like God's benefit. I don't think God's like, thank you. Like, I think that's just part of the relationship. Like, it's hard for us to see something like that and not respond. And one of those responses is worship. Now, last Sunday, you guys had a snow day, right? I was in New Orleans. I literally drove down on Friday morning. And by the time I got to New Orleans, like, apparently they don't get that much snow down there because they thought everyone up here died. They really did. Like, I turned on the news and I see like Kansas City and St. Louis and I'm like, we made it. So last week, we did not meet, but Pastor Dave did do a sermon online. He got on Facebook. We posted it to the Living Word website. I'm assuming not everyone saw that. But Pastor Dave talked about another assumption. You see, we're still in Matthew. He was reading the Beatitudes. And he started talking about how we as Christians hear the word, right? Like we study, we hear, we read scripture, we come to church. We are hearers of truth, but we must also be doers. And so that's another assumption I do think God has for us. Like we as created beings, not only will listen to the Creator, but we will actually do something about it. And today, I have another assumption. Today we're going to talk about the kingdom of God, also the kingdom of heaven. Some people now are even saying the kingdom of God. I, as a medieval enthusiast, have no problems talking about kings. So kingdom of God works really well for me. But if you see kingdom of God, it's the same thing. It's just new language, okay? But the kingdom of God is something that brings me a lot of joy as a pastor. In fact, it's probably my favorite thing to talk about. My youth are probably like, oh, I came to service today, and he's talking about this again. When I talk to youth, the kingdom of God, I just say it's the way the world could and should be. Does that make sense? That may be overly simplistic, but that's a good place to start. The kingdom of God is the way the world could and should be. So today we're going to be talking about the kingdom of God because the assumption that I am making on God's behalf is that when we, the created, see the kingdom, when we participate in the kingdom, when we are a part of it, we're going to want more. I think God assumes that when we see the kingdom, that we will want to be a part of it. So today, that's what we're going to talk about. Now, I think a lot of times when we talk about the kingdom of God, one of the reasons I use such a simple understanding is because people, and we go all over the place when we talk about this. Some people just think like, oh, heaven. I'm like, no, the kingdom of God. There's a difference. You see, Jesus came to proclaim the kingdom of God. Did you realize that? Jesus is preaching. Jesus is teaching. The thing that he's proclaiming is that the kingdom of God is there. It's something that's happening actively, has been since the dawn of creation. All of creation is moving forward. All of creation is seeking to be in better relationship with God. And so when we talk about the way the world could and should be, we are carrying on the message of Jesus, which is God's not done with us. Creation is still happening. Now, once again, this may not seem that exciting, but I have a question. How many of you dream? 5 people? Some of you are dreaming right now. The young one is talking. Make him go away. So All of us dream. All of us imagine a better world. I mean, how many of you guys have seen something that has shook you to your core? Something that you have seen that was awful. I'm talking like hate, violence, rage, any of the, like you've just seen something that you're like, mm-mm. Did you imagine the world without that? We all do this. I know I do this. You got to remember, I'm a nerd. I play Dungeons and Dragons. I dream all the time. My imagination is like extremely high up there. My IQ is about here, but my imagination is really high, so I make up for it. But friends, we dream. And I had this moment, and I want to share this story because part of me thinks it's funny, but other, like, maybe you can relate to this. I got mad at God about 3 months ago. I'm talking like temper tantrum, mad at God. I actually looked at Hannah, my wife, and I was like, I'm leaving. She's like, what's going on? I'm like, I'm mad. She's like, at what? I'm like, I don't want to talk about it. And I opened the door, and I did like that thing where people run away. I literally got out, and I did the most pretentious walk through my neighborhood I've ever, like, it was just like, and people are looking at me, and in the back of my head, I was arguing with God. I'm like, I could have done better. That's the arrogant thing that came out of my heart. It's like, I could have done better. I've read fantasy, I've watched movies, like, people fly in movies. I don't even get to fly in this world. I can imagine a better world than this. Like, you didn't try hard enough, God. And I literally pouted my way through my neighborhood, and I realized that my imagination was going nuts. Like, I was imagining a world without violence. I was imagining a world without racism. I was imagining a world where everyone kind of got along and there was peace and harmony, but we all worked together. And, like, my imagination was on point. And I realized in that moment that that's the kingdom of God. Every time you dream for a better world, anytime you look at something and you say, no, that's not good, we're going to replace that with something better. Anytime you can imagine something better than it was today, friends, that's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a part of our very being. It's how we process the world. We don't even think about it like that. But every time you dream, you are participating in the kingdom of God becoming more of a reality. Now, as I was practicing this sermon last night, every now and then you'll find what I call like the layup, right? Like where things just kind of work. Do you guys know what tomorrow is? Martin Luther King Day. By the way, he was a doctor and a reverend, so he would really appreciate this. But I'm talking about dreams today. Did you know that he wrote like this really famous speech called I Have a Dream? I'm sitting here practicing. I'm like, I've heard this. Like, I'm dreaming. Like, oh. Friends, if you've never read this speech, if you have never read this in school, tomorrow most of us have the day off. Read that speech. It is life-changing. Dr. King lays out this image for the way the world could be. In his context at that time, it was a world without racism. It was a world without violence. He talked about people getting together, joining together, and not being judged by their skin, but by the content of their character. He talked about a world where people sat at a table together. He had a dream. And in that speech, friends, that speech is about the kingdom of God. I have a dream. We have a dream. That's profound. When I read that, I did not think in my head, oh, this is the kingdom of God. But here's the thing, when he wrote that speech, when he told other people about the dream that he had, when he told other people the way the world could be, do you realize that people started looking at his dream and saying, hey, I dream that too? This is the cool part about dreams. When we share them with people, it invites people in. We start sharing dreams together. That speech rallied people to the kingdom of God. I want us to keep dreaming. I want us to start realizing that the kingdom is not just something in the future, but it's something now. It's something that's happening now. Jesus came to proclaim the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. By the way, we just said that prayer. I don't know if you realize that. We say it pretty much every Sunday. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This has been a prayer, this has been a hope for Christians since Jesus. We also say at the end of that prayer, how's it go? Do you remember it? The kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. This is our hope. You see, Jesus knew that this thought was kind of different. Jesus knew that what he was telling people was maybe a little confusing. So I'm going to go to Scripture. We're going to see what Jesus said. This place in Matthew, we're in Matthew chapter 13. Jesus is in full-on preaching mode. He's telling everyone parables. Some people love parables. Some people hate them. Parables can be kind of frustrating, but parables are like a short story. They invite you to help process, to be a part of the story. These are the three parables that Jesus tells us about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. This is the third one. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets and threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Three little parables. I started thinking about this. Like, I'm one of those people who loves parables, but you kind of got to sit with them for a while, right? Most people don't read parables and go, oh, I get it. Parables sink into your brain and they make you process things differently. As I was sitting with these parables this week, I noticed a couple things that I think are true about the kingdom. And I'm going to start going backwards, by the way. That third parable is actually my favorite, which is weird because when I was younger, that was like a hellfire and brimstone kind of passage that made me really uncomfortable. I don't see it that way anymore, but it's kind of profound. You see, in that first part, what's the kingdom? Because when I first read this, I was thinking like the person who casts the net, the angel. No, it's the net. The net is the kingdom. I thought that was really weird. The kingdom, in that sense, almost seems passive, right? And it says that the net, when it's drawn in, catches all manner of fish. I started sitting with that, and I realized, I was like, that's the good fish, that's the bad fish, that's the ugly fish, that's the fish that they threw out last week because they did it was too small. Like, this is all the fish, every kind of fish. Friends, when I read that, I hear that the kingdom of God is inclusive. The kingdom of God, just like the love of Christ, is for everyone. There is no one excluded from the kingdom. That's powerful. When you dream, are your dreams for everyone? Because the kingdom of heaven is for everyone. Now, that second part still gets me, right? And I can't ignore it as much as I'd like to. So it will be at the end of the age, the angels will come and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I sat with that one for an exceptionally long amount of time because it made me nervous. And no pastor wants to get up and have that type of conversation. And I'm not going to argue with a traditional interpretation, right? Traditional Christianity, a lot of times we have this understanding that some people just don't get it and they will suffer consequences. When I see this, though, I see something very different. And this is my personal take. This is Pastor Dan. When I read this, I see that when people enter the kingdom, because the kingdom is for everyone, even people who aren't perfect, especially maybe people who aren't perfect, myself being one of them, when you start seeing the kingdom, you realize that there are parts of you that don't belong there. There are things that we do, things that we hold on to that are not part of the kingdom and shouldn't be. And when you are faced with the kingdom, when you are standing in the kingdom, when you are in the world, and you see that perfection, there's a part of you that needs to, it's going to change. Change is painful. I see this and I say, everyone's welcome, but once we get there, it's maybe going to be a little hard. Second thing I know about the kingdom from these parables is that no one enters the kingdom and goes away unchanged. The kingdom changes us, it refines us, it makes us better. It takes our dreams and refines them and makes them more in line with God's. Inclusive, life-changing. Third thing I realized, and I could not find a better word for this, and I apologize. The kingdom is findable. The first two passages, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. He found the treasure. He found the pearl. The kingdom of heaven is something that we can find. It is something that is real. And it's something that if we look for, we're going to find it. The fourth thing I learned about the kingdom, it's worth it. This is, I think, a very hard concept for us as Christians. We love talking about the glory of the gospel. We love talking about the good. We love having conversations about dreams. But have you ever thought about the value and what it takes to get it? These people sold things. And I remember hearing this when I was young, and my pastor said this, and I'm like, man, I don't have that much stuff. Like, and I like the stuff that I have. Pastor Dave last week on that little sermon, he talked about being hearers and doers. At some point, this is the scary part about Christianity, we actually have to respond. We have to give something of ourselves to receive something from God. We have to get out of our own way. And friends, I think that's actually the most haunting thing in here. Because the kingdom is findable, and the good news today is that it's definitely worth it. But that brings us to us, right? What are we willing to sell? What are those things in our lives that we need to sell? Because I think God's assumption was right. When we see the kingdom, we want it. We want to be a part of it. We recognize it as special. But we also know from last week that God's assumption is that we need to not just be hearers, we need to be doers. So I have to ask yourself, and I want you to take a moment, because I think this is that awkward moment where the pastor asks you to do something, and I know the lights are dim and it's kind of hard to do this. I want you to literally take just a couple seconds, and I want you to go back to your dreams. I want you to imagine the world the way it could be. Not just good for you, but good for everyone, like a perfect world. I want you to imagine that perfect world. Do you have it in your head? Or at least a concept of it? This is the big question that I think God is always asking. What is that worth? What are we willing to give to achieve that dream? What will it take in our lives to be a part of that, to make dreams a reality? It's worth it. I told you I'm not perfect, but I have bought a field once. I found a pearl one time. It's life-giving, friends. When you get to see dreams become reality, when you get to see someone healed, when you get to see a cycle of violence stop, there is nothing more life-giving in this world, because in that moment you see the love of God reflected in creation. Because that is what the kingdom of God is. It is when the love of Christ that dwells inside you allows you to imagine but spurs you to action and brings you to a place where you and everyone else and all of creation become better, become more godlike, become more perfect. I've been struggling with this sermon. I actually looked at Greg earlier. First service, I rambled. I went all over the place. And he said, yeah, no, you did. It's very kind. I'm going to try not to ramble. If I were to give you one kind of thought for this, I want you guys to leave here today. I want you to realize that not only God loves you, which we say all the time and we're going to keep saying until you realize it, God loves you, but God loves creation and your part in it and wants you to be a part of it and wants you to make it better along with God. I keep coming back to this idea of dreams. Friends, we need to be dreaming. We need to be acting. But I want to talk about the church for a minute. People keep telling me, like as a pastor, especially as a younger pastor, I interact with a lot of non-Christians. And I keep hearing this phrase, the church is just not practical. Friends, I'm about to give you the most practical understanding of church that I have, and it fits perfectly with this. We are a group of people who pray. We say things like, your kingdom come, your will be done. We gather together as individual dreamers in a building like this or in a place like this, in Africa, under a tree like this. But friends, we gather and we dream together. And just like Reverend King invited people into his dream, we are all inviting each other into our dreams. Do you realize that we have like 1,000 people that attend Living Word? On an average Sunday, we have 500 to 600, sometimes more. That's 600 dreams, friends. That's 600 people with resources, with gifts, with talents, with the Holy Spirit moving through them. This is the place where God connects us. This is the place where our dreams become realities. This is our place where we pool our resources and we change the world because that's what Jesus told us to do. It does not get more practical than that. If you want math, one man found a pearl. He went and sold all that he had to buy that pearl. How many people do we have again? 600 on a given Sunday? Friends, that's 600 pearls. Do you imagine? Take your dreams again and imagine what we are capable of doing as the community of God. Imagine. Now imagine that the work that you can do is already being prepared by God, that God is also working in that direction and that we're working with God, not against God. Friends, the church is a place where resources are pooled. It's a place where we dream. The main job of a pastor, as far as I'm concerned, is to get people to imagine, is to get people to see the kingdom of God. That's exactly what Jesus did. He said, you guys don't have to live this way. This isn't right. This is the way it could be. This is the way it's going to be. That's what our job is as pastors. As a community of faith, do you know what the United Methodist Church's mission statement is? Some of you are like, that's boring. No. Let me tell you, it's actually quite profound. The United Methodist Church exists to create disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. We are a church that is rooted in the kingdom. You also have this beautiful phrase, the United Methodist Church, open hearts, open minds, open doors. I like that. We have an open table. That makes perfect sense. Of course we have open minds, open hearts, open doors if our table is open. But what does it mean like to continually open your mind? What does it mean like to continually open your hearts as a church? And here's another thing. I think the doors thing is dumb. I'm going to tell you why. I don't think the church should have doors. I think we should go out and take them off the hinges right now. Well, not right now because it's freezing. But do you get my concept? Go back to that third parable, friends. The kingdom is the net. We should be casting nets. I don't care what fish show up. Bring the ugly fish, bring the weird one, bring the one that might be poisonous. We won't eat it, but it can come. All the fish. I've never said that in church. That felt really good. All the fish should be here. We should not have doors. We should take them off the hinges, literally, because when we lose our doors, our minds have no option other than to be open. Our hearts have no other option to be open. And then we turn around and we realize that the table has always been open. And Jesus sat behind the table with his friends, and he dreamed, and he imagined something better. And from his imaginings and from his teachings, those people around the table started dreaming, and they started imagining, and they started participating in the kingdom of God. And friends, 2,000 years later, we're sitting 600 strong in a building, dreaming and imagining how the world could be better with enough resources to make it so. The kingdom of God is here, the kingdom of God is now, and God absolutely assumes that when you see it, you are going to want to be a part of it. Amen.